Welcome to Jewish TV channel on BIPAC News. I'm Jessica Imami, your senior Middle East analyst, and our guest today, who shall remain anonymous, is Hope Iranian. Hope is a very vigorous activist with very great leadership qualities who's been working to pass an act in Congress called the Mahsa Act that has to do with human rights in Iran. So we're going to be on audio today because, as you know, with Iran, there's always safety concerns for anyone who works to do anything that keeps the Iranian government accountable. After the September 2022 murder of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini by the Iranian regime's morality police, my guest, an Iranian-American school teacher, found herself wanting to do something about the rampant terrorism and awful human rights violations by the Iranian regime. Just after Amini's death, a large protest movement arose inside Iran and throughout the world, with gatherings in places like Berlin and Hamburg, Germany, Paris, France, Rome, Italy, London, United Kingdom, and New York, Washington, D.C., and other major cities throughout the United States. Although most of the protests have subsided because of the regime's execution of scores of innocent young Iranians, a brave group of young second-generation Iranian-American activists have taken to the halls of the U.S. Congress to pass a bevy of legislation that codifies sanctions against the Iranian regime for terrorism and human rights violations. My guest today is Hope Iranian, not her real name, one of the reluctant leaders of what has informally been called the Mahsa Army. Hope and her fellow activists have obtained sponsors and co-sponsors for a number of bills, including the one we will focus on today, the Mahsa Amini Human Rights and Security Accountability Act, named in honor of Mahsa Amini. Here to tell us how passing the Mahsa Act could end the Iranian regime's terrorism and human rights violations is my guest, Hope Iranian.
Welcome to our show, Hope
Thank
Iranian.
you. Thank you so much, Jessica. I'm so excited to be here today with you and to speak with your audience about the Mahsa Act and any other Iran-related issue that you might be interested in. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So, Hope, as far as I know, you are a relative newcomer to activism. Can you tell me what triggered you to act to help with the situation in Iran or what's even going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've never really been a political activist, although I care about human rights very, very much. And because I'm a teacher of students with special needs, I've always been an activist for them. So my heart and passion is for human rights, human beings, and of course, freedom is so central and key to just who I am as a person. And I think that without all of the freedoms that I enjoy here, it just wouldn't be me. So what happened is in 2022, we all found out that Mahsa Amini was essentially killed by the Islamic regime because supposedly, according to them, she was wearing improper hijab. And so when we all found out about that, and of course, as Iranian Americans, I, alongside many, many other people, have known about the atrocities that are committed by the Islamic regime. And so, therefore, I, alongside many, many, many other Iranian Americans, said, well, what else can we do here besides going to the protests that we're holding here in the United States and various cities? And so, this was something that we could jump on and just advocate for a piece of legislation to further echo the voices within Iran to our Congress members here so that perhaps we could make an impact and make a change in how the United States has been dealing with Iran's regime.
That's fantastic. So what I'm hearing is the beginnings of very vigorous civic engagement and political engagement by our community in the first place. which I think has probably been weaker in the past. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the voices of the Iranian Americans or the Iranians within the country hasn't really been delivered correctly to our legislators and or our universities or other people in the media. Unfortunately, the regime in Iran has essentially infiltrated a lot of our systems, a lot of our civic engagement, our universities, our legislators, and they've pretended to be the voices of the Iranian people or the Iranian Americans, but they are not. They're actually regime agents, regime lobbies, regime apologists that have been implanted here to protect the sovereignty of the Islamic regime who commits atrocities. And I can name an organization. I don't know if I'm allowed to do
Please
that.
do. Name
Okay, so
names.
one of them is NIAC. So NIAC is very, very well known for essentially being a regime lobby. That's what they're known for amongst the Iranians and the diaspora. And again, it's NIAC, and the Iranians inside of Iran know about them too, and they're.
Their name was pretty popular, like I don't know, like during the Obama administration. I think Americans have heard of that organization too.
Yeah,
But
I'm not sure, Jessica, but one of them. Yeah.
yeah. So I'm glad now the people, the boots on the ground, are changing the narrative, changing what they want for Iranians in America and Iranians in Iran. So what does this act do, and when was it introduced?
Okay, so great question. So this piece of legislation is called the Mahsa Amini Human Rights and Security Accountability Act. Again, Mahsa Amini Human Rights Security and Accountability Act. And the acronym is the Mahsa Act, which is the first name of Mahsa Amini. Her true name is Gina. She was a young woman who, as we talked about, was killed by the morality police or the immorality police, as we like to call them, inside of Iran. And she died on September 16th, 2022. And this piece of legislation, this act, was introduced by Representative Jim Banks. He's from Indiana. He's a Republican representative from Indiana. And it was introduced into the House of Representatives on October, see, I have the date written. Give me a sec. It was introduced on October 21st of 2022 initially. So a few days after we all found out about the murder of Mahsa Amini at the hands of the regime, this act was introduced. And so that's why a lot of Iranian Americans found out about it back then.
Yeah. So if I think about it, it was probably reintroduced a little bit later because
Correct.
it's still pending in Congress, and that's a good thing. So what exactly does the act do?
Correct. So, Jessica, let me back up just a little bit here. So, when it was initially introduced, it was in the 117th Congress. So, again, that was back in October 2022. And then the year ended, it had to be reintroduced in the new Congress. Not the year, I'm sorry, but just the term, right? So, now we're in the 118th Congress. And so, it was reintroduced on January 27th, 2023. And because there was so much activism behind this, we really, really reached out to all of our Congress members and requested for them to co-sponsor this bill because we wanted it to be a bipartisan bill. And as you know, if bills aren't bipartisan, they tend not to pass. So in the House of Representatives, this bill, through all of our activism and all of our friends, it gained 128 co-sponsors. And essentially, half of them were from the Republican Party, half from the Democratic Party. And then on September 12th, 2023, it passed. It passed with 410 yes votes in the House of Representatives. And this is Absolutely. I see you shaking your head. It's
No, I'm just, it's such a
unbelievable.
successful bill in the
Yes.
House.
And
And
also,
so bipartisan, like split right down the middle.
yeah, so the yes votes on this bill were 209 Republican yes votes and 201 Democratic yes votes. And as you said, it was essentially split right in the middle. And that's the type of grassroots activism that we all engaged in. And all of a sudden, normal people who had nothing to do with politics before, who didn't even know who their representatives were or who their senators were, started calling them and reaching out to them. And one of them is
Wow.
me. And just reaching
So
out to them. Yes.
let me just back up a little bit. What exactly does the act do, its purpose?
Yes. So what it does is it codifies, so it makes executive orders into legislation, into law. So it codifies sanctions, and the sanctions are for human rights abuses and terrorism on the very top leadership of Iran's government or Iran's regime, which are the office of the Supreme Leader of Iran and the office of the president and their related offices. So the people that are under them, who are also responsible for human rights violations and abuses and terrorism. And so it would codify or would make into law these existing executive orders so that they can't easily be lifted should our administration decide to go into further negotiations with the regime in Iran. And these are only the human rights abuse executive orders and the terrorism sanctions. And there is, and the way when I say sanctions, it essentially blocks their bank accounts and
That's
it
pretty
revokes,
significant.
it is, and it also prohibits or revokes visas. And this is really,
That's significant.
yeah,
And their
this is.
children too, right? Probably their family members.
I well, it's people that are related to their offices, so it's not
Gotcha.
indiscriminate. It is people, again, the president of Iran, the supreme leader of Iran, and those people that are under them, that work for them, that are responsible for human rights abuses directly. So these are very targeted sanctions. They're not all inclusive. And again, the reason why it's important is because, you know, like I said, there's regime agents that they could be living amongst us. And the other, there's like a part A and a part B to this bill. So part B of this is that it requires a very thorough review by the current administration. So President Biden and his administration would have to do a very thorough review and produce a report to all Congress members about who is sanctioned currently from this regime and who is not. And if they're not, if there's waivers that are granted under the current executive orders, why those waivers are granted. So this is a key element
That's pretty
that,
huge.
yeah, we usually don't talk about part B of this bill, but to me, this is really, I think, an essential and a different type of it's what makes this bill very, very unique. So this report is going to be made available to all of our Congress members. And also the unclassified portion is going to also be uploaded into the government's website, like congress.gov, so we can also observe it and see, great, who are the entities, who are the people that are sanctioned, that are directly tied to the regime, who are very dangerous individuals, and
Yeah.
also the review of that, the review process of that and the report could possibly lead the administration to capture more people that might need to have their visas revoked. For example, if they've been given certain waivers, and if these waivers through the review and this transparency seems to be that no, the reasons maybe are not good enough. So
Yes.
it leaves that room.
It also involves the Iranian American community more, like so we know what's going on in our community, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's really interesting to me is For so many years, we've just heard about, nuclear this, nuclear that, and they've never really focused on, at least through when the nuclear deal was done, on terrorism and human rights. And Iranian Americans want human rights. They're very concerned about it, is what I've heard. So this bill seems to speak to that part of what we need. Is that true?
It does. So Jessica, after the murder of Mahsa Amini, thousands and thousands of people came out into the streets in protest of her brutal murder by the regime. And these people were essentially brutalized and slaughtered on the streets of Iran. And a large portion of those were the minorities, the Baluchi people in the south of Iran, the Kurdish people. And Mahsa Amini, by the way, was also a Kurdish young woman. She's 22 years old. So thousands of individuals were also arrested. And when they're, this is, people are saying 22,000 people, 24,000 people. The truth is
Yes,
that we
they're
don't
in the
know the real number.
20,000s.
We don't, yeah. So when they were arrested, all the brutalities that we saw, for example, from the Hamas terror attacks on October 7th, these types of atrocities happened to the people of Iran,
By their
and
own government.
by their own government. So when we're talking about human rights abuses, and especially the way that the girls and the women, and unfortunately, some of the men as well were treated inside of the jails, the cells of the Islamic regime, as torture, rape, et cetera, et cetera. And young girls were gassed with poisonous gas that was probably sarin or some kind of an organophosphate, which we haven't identified because the regime
Yeah,
doesn't allow it.
that
So,
was the one in schools. They were putting it in schools.
So
It's
again,
interesting because it just kind of went quiet and nobody's fessing up, like what was that stuff? What did they do,
So essentially, in all 23 provinces of Iran, school children, girls were gassed as a way of retaliation for this woman life freedom movement or revolution that people engaged in after Mahsa Amini's death. So it was a way of retaliation. And these are large numbers of young girls. 5 to 7,000 girls in extensively throughout Iran, in all the provinces of Iran, more than 150 cities were gassed. Now, thankfully, they didn't all die. At least we know two of them did. The rest of them, and these are in the hundreds, and again, the regime doesn't allow for us to know, but hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, were hospitalized. And these girls are going to have long-term side effects, the doctors have said, such as cancer and
I was
infertility.
just thinking that, we don't know what it's going to do to them. It's terrible.
So these are the human rights atrocities that the Islamic regime engaged in essentially in 2022, 2023. However, this is a cyclical process. So every time the Iranian people have risen up against this totalitarian dictatorship, they've brutally subdued them. And this happened again and again and again. So it happened in 1979 with the inception of this regime. Then it happened in the 80s, where they killed over 30,000 political prisoners, literally murdered them. And then in, like I said, then the 1980s that occurred, then in 20 not in 2009, there was a very big movement called the Green Movement and protests. Thousands were arrested and many hundreds were killed in the streets. And then it happened again a few years later in Bloody November. That was 2019, where again, thousands, more than 3,000, some reports are saying, were killed and injured. And some reports are saying anywhere between 7 to 19 plus thousand were arrested then. So
Oh,
these,
yes. Many were not heard from for a long time.
So these types of, what I wanted to kind of show your audience is that it's not just after the Mahsa Amini uprising that these human rights atrocities have occurred. It's just a cyclical process that any time the Iranian people are uprising to voice their dissent and their horror and hate of the regime acts in this way. And of course, the other part of this, the Mahsa Act talks about the terrorism sanctions, because the regime is essentially brutalizing their own population so that they won't speak up and they won't stand up to them. And then they're extending this type of terror across the world in the Middle East, and they support the Hamas, Houthis, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad. There's so many groups that they are paying billions and billions of dollars to on a yearly basis to maintain, train, and provide weapons to, so that they'll go and brutalize people in Israel and other parts of Middle East. So these
So
regions are
let
all
me
in the
just
Mahsa Act.
note one thing. I really appreciate what you brought up about the history of these actually more and more frequent and bigger uprisings. But also the terrorism and all the proxy groups, which really ties into one of the other reasons I wanted to have you on our channel, JewishTVChannel.com, is because I believe that there's a lot of overlap where if the US Jewish community is aware of what's going on, they always support the underdog. And I think that we need to sort of work in partnership with one another. And of course, there's a lot of Iranian Jewish people in the United States. So tell me a little bit more about the tie-in to what we as the two communities have in common and how we can work towards this mass passing this act. Why hasn't it passed already? And what can Jewish people do?
Well, Jewish people, like the rest of Americans, like anyone else, can reach out to their Congress members and senators and request for them to co-sponsor this bill, this act. It is currently in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It's in the Senate. And unfortunately, even though it passed in the House of Representatives, it's essentially being stalled indefinitely or blocked by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So this committee has 21 members. It is the Senate, as you know, is has majority Democratic members. So all the leadership in the Senate are Democratic people. For example, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, if he wants to, he can bring this bill up to be, it's the process called is called a markup process. So he can schedule it for a markup. The 21 members in the committee can vote on it. And then it can move on to hopefully get a full Senate floor vote from all 100 senators. But it's being blocked or stalled in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The chairman's name is Senator Ben Cardin. He's a Democratic senator from Maryland. And the best thing that we can do is to call his office and request for him to not only co-sponsor this bill, because it's so important, but also to schedule it for a markup session and really to stop blocking it and stop stalling it. I called their office today. I spoke to a very nice woman in the office who answered, and she again confirmed to me, yet again, that yes, the senator is not going to proceed with marking up the bill. So we really need all of our senators to be on board, and to co-sponsor it. And that's the best methodology for moving forward right now. So I just want to tell you, there's
So
currently.
people across the country can call their senators and say, please co-sponsor this bill and
Yes.
please urge Senator Cardin to mark it up. Is that
Exactly.
right?
Yes, that's correct. So the easiest way, I think, to find out our representation in the Senate is to go on congress.gov. It's super easy, very user-friendly website. It's again congress.gov. On the right-hand side, when you enter the page, you can enter your address and it'll bring up who your senators are and their phone numbers. and email
Amazing.
addresses, and a way to just like send them a quick email or really go online onto their website. There's links to request a meeting with them as well. And usually I've had so many, I've had probably over 50 different Zoom meetings at the very least with various members in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And you can do that, of course, starting off with your own senators, and then call, Senator Ben Cardin's office. It's super easy to look up his name and find out the number online. So those are the best ways of activism, essentially for the MASA Act. And the bill number is S 2626 because
Okay.
it is in the Senate now. So we want to request for our senators to co-sponsor S 2626 or the MASA Act, MAHSA Act.
We'll put that in the show notes as well. So, as people have noticed, there is a QR code in lieu of your photograph, on the Zoom. Can you tell me what that QR code is for?
Yes. So this is one of our campaigns. It is a change.org petition that one of our great friends, Sarah Raviani, who has started to work for NUFTI, it produced. She wrote it and it's on change.org. If people can just scan it on their phone and sign this petition, it's one way of showing support for the MASA Act. But as far as activism, the best and the strongest ways that we can voice our opinion is through phone calls to our senators, and then requesting meeting. And we also have petition letters. So petition letters are letters that I've written with other activists and getting their input to make sure that we have a good solid letter. And we're collecting signatures on these letters, and we will be emailing them actually this weekend to all the senators. We have two, I have two letters pinned to my profile on Twitter, and this is my handle. It's at Hope Iranian. So again, at Hope Iranian. And if you guys visit my profile on Twitter, you can sign those two petition letters. One of them talks about the MASA Act, about the necessity of Senator Cardin bringing it up for a markup session. And the other one includes other bills that essentially defund and weaken the Islamic regime from our end in the United States. There's a few things that we can do. We can make sure that they're sanctioned. We can make sure that the sanctions are implemented. We can make sure that they're not selling billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of oil to China when they're not supposed to do that. So there's other bills. We can make sure, for example, that we disincentivize hostage taking and kidnapping by them. So there are other bills, and the other letter that I have pinned to my profile also includes those and talks about, again, who NIAC is, who MEK is, and that they do not represent us, and who does represent us, and who has a strong, voice for us as Iranian Americans.
Wonderful. So I'm so inspired by the hard work that you put in, knowing that, this is not your job, this is your passion. So and it's helping a lot of people. We are gonna put the links for the change.org also in the show notes.
Great.
I hope I get a lot of engagement from the Jewish American community and from anybody, any American who really cares about what's going on with terrorism and human rights violations in Iran should be signing on to this bill. So I want to
Yeah.
thank you for coming today, and I hope we can have you back for updates periodically. How does
I
that
would love
sound?
to. Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much. And I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate that you gave me this time to share this information with your audience. Thank you.
Wonderful, Hope. See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's presentation of BIPAC News on JewishTVChannel.com with my guest, Hope Iranian. I'm Jessica Imami, your host, and I bid you farewell until our next episode.